We don't want to miss any moment with God. Amen. We don't want to miss anything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, it's good to be together. We're finding ourselves in what's become a series called Kingdom on Display, Kingdom on Demand. Kingdom on Display, Kingdom on Demand. Everything in your life and my life, it really should display the kingdom. There should be something about your life, something about how you walk, talk, how you carry yourself that would cause people to recognize that you are part of an unshakable kingdom. Yes. That was three of y'all. That you're part of an unshakable kingdom. Yes. I'm part of an unshakable kingdom. Yes. I'm going to say it again. I'm part of an unshakable kingdom. Yes. Hallelujah. And while everything around me may seem to be shifting and shaking, my feet are solidly planted and rooted in God's word. Hallelujah. And I believe that for you as well. So I want to continue today, and I want to, again, for those that are here for the first time or listening for the first time, I like to take time and give a statement concerning the kingdom of God to help us understand what I am saying when I talk about the kingdom of God. So here we go. The kingdom of God is the eternal rule of God over everything and everybody, everywhere, for all time and eternity. It is above time, yet envelops time. It transcends time, and it endures time. A million billion ages ago, God's kingdom existed. A million billion years from now, it will still exist. Being eternally permanent, it wins the right to be called everything. Say everything. Everything. Because everything else either encompassed by it or will ultimately cease to exist. Then I make this statement here, or I share this statement concerning the dynamics of kingdom, church, and gospel. The kingdom of God, then, is the reign of God, both in eternity and in time. The kingdom on earth is manifested by the Holy Spirit as he works through the body of Christ. Say, that's us.
That's us.
Come on, say, that's me.
That's me.
The church, whose members are co-heirs with the king. Each member is enrolled in what we might call Kingdom University, with a major in training for reigning, both for here and for the hereafter. The church has also been entrusted with a redeeming narrative called the gospel that, once proclaimed, enables others to enter the kingdom of God. Let me just pause there and say this, because I believe we're going to, again, hear more teaching relative to kingdom and less about talking about church, but the kingdom. You see, because the church is in the kingdom. And we're going to begin to hear more of the good news of the gospel shared about people coming into the kingdom, not just getting saved for a long time. The message was, you get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved, so you can go to heaven. But we've eliminated the message of the kingdom. I believe that this is why God is taking his body this direction. As I shared in one of the earlier teachings, when Jesus rose and he was there for 40 days amongst his followers, he taught nothing and spoke nothing except about the kingdom. He didn't talk about church planting. He didn't talk about how to grow your church, where to plant your church. Matter of fact, he didn't say anything to them other than, you're going to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Now, what he left out and didn't tell them, and the reason why you're going to find yourself in those locations, is because of persecution. Now, how many of you know that sometimes when you're hearing the news, you don't necessarily need to hear all of it at one time? I mean, if Jesus would have said, listen to me, I want to let you know, you're going to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world, because they're going to try to kill you. And you're going to run. And you're going to run into all these places. No. He said, you're going to be witnesses in order to advance my kingdom, in order to establish my kingdom. Enables others to enter the kingdom as well, and to understand the eternal kingdom that has been, we have been invited to enter. This comes from a book by Jack R. Taylor, Cosmic Initiative. It's a great read. If you want to find it, you can find it on Amazon, and you can get it as a Kindle book if you like to download books. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Say this, I am the light of the world. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. This isn't Paul, this isn't Peter, this isn't John. This is what Jesus is saying. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We're talking about kingdom on display, kingdom on demand. It's in Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. It says this, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Kingdom on display, kingdom on demand. I posed five questions that today we're going to look at number two, but the five questions that I pose with you were, do people see his kingdom on display in your life? Number two, do people see the provision of his kingdom in your life? That's the one we're going to focus on today. Number three, do people see the power of his kingdom in your life? Number four, do people see the authority of his kingdom in your life? And number five, do people seek you out to access his kingdom? Now, that last one is a real key because that speaks to really how you live your life. Is anybody coming up to you and asking you to pray for them because they see the kingdom manifested in your life? As I talked about, do you see his kingdom on display in your life? I looked at Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, 1 through 37, it's the account of John and Peter, Peter and John, after the power of God healed the man at Gate Beautiful, who was lame all his life. The scripture says that he got up and they all went into the temple together. It says he was leaping, dancing and leaping and praising God. And he goes in and everybody looks and they recognize that this guy has never walked a day in his life. And we see that Peter and John began to share how that happened. So when we look at that particular passage, okay, so you're somewhere beyond where I'm at. Can you stay with me and find number six? Thank you. Thank you. Don't get ahead of me, okay? Thank you. So you'll see there the five things that were evident in kingdom display. Number one, their confidence. Say confidence. Again, their confidence. Number two, their conversation. Say conversation. Number three, conviction. Yeah, y'all got it. Come on. Number four, commitment. And number five, their courage. All of that is evident as the kingdom display in their lives. They're brought in and they're asked, what are they doing? And we see the confidence and we see in their conversation, while everybody else is looking at them as having been unlearned, uneducated, because these were fishermen, and everybody else thought they were highly educated, and they were the ones who really knew how to relate to God and how to teach. And yet, here are these men who are supposedly unlearned, and they're speaking confidently, and their conversation is one that's moving everybody that's in the space. So it's while in that they are then challenged, and they are warned and said not to speak in Jesus' name ever again. That's where the conviction comes in, and they say, look, whether it's right to speak with in this name or not, we're going with God on this. We gotta go with what we've seen and what we've heard. The conviction. Then there's the commitment. The commitment comes later when they get back amongst the other disciples and followers and the other apostles, and they begin to share what they experienced. And what you see is their commitment, because they're not trying to run. They're saying, we need to pray because we need the power of God to help us. And then five, we see the courage as they begin to walk it out again. As a matter of fact, when you have time, I'd like you to then begin to read in Acts chapter 5 in your own reading, because what you're going to find there, there's the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and everybody knows that passage of scripture because they lied about what they sold and ended up dying. But when you read on, what you find is that they put John and Peter in jail again. They put them in jail again, but an angel comes and gets them out. And so the next day when they think they're going to go and get them out and probably try to put fear in them again, they're saying, they're not in jail. Well, where are they? They're out on the street preaching. I'm talking about this courage now. They're out there preaching. So they go out there and they say, we told you not to be using this name. Said, it's better to obey God than to obey man. Kingdom on display. The reason why it's important for us to get this is because kingdom on display isn't about stuff. While it can be, it's about more than stuff. Kingdom on display isn't just about the miracles and all those kind of things that we like to see happen, although that's part of it. I want to talk from the whole package of kingdom on display, kingdom on demand, and help us recognize that there really is a price that comes along with it. And each one of us, we have to be willing to pay that price. And so today, I want to talk about, do people see the provision of his kingdom in your life? Pastor Jamal did a great job in leading us in our giving and talking about that area of provision. Do people see the provision of God? We're talking about kingdom on display. And thank God for the stimulus package and all those kind of things that came into play. But you and I must remember who our source is. Somebody just shout it out. Who's our source? Yeah. You can say God, Jesus. He's our source. He's our only source. If you received a stimulus check, you don't thank anybody other than Jesus. Well, let me just say this. I didn't thank anybody other than Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when the next one came, thank you, Jesus. Every time I see some funds coming, thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm grateful for if somebody sent it to me or put it in my hands, but I'm going back to the source. I'm going to show you there's a source in all of this. Do people see the provision of his kingdom in your life? What are people drawn to about you? Do they see our lives as being blessed? Or do they see us going through the same challenges as everybody else? And I believe the reason why often that challenge is there for many is because we focused on getting saved and going to heaven and not demonstrating the power of the kingdom here on earth until our time is up. I'm just going to clap for myself right there because I just believe that to be part of the disconnect for the church, for the body of Christ. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming sooner than any of us think. But until he comes, we need to handle our business. We need to handle kingdom business. And that's why he has assigned us here at this building that we call the embassy. Our words begin to transform it because we speak it. That's why we opened them doors. And I apologize for those who got a little cold. I thought they would have closed the doors back, but I guess they left them open just for the rest of what was going on to go out there as well. But we opened the doors because we need to get it into the atmosphere. This place is going to be packed with people, but they're going to be here because of the presence of God. And that's what we are stewarding right now. That's what we are careful to steward right now. We want people, before they get in the door, they feel it. When they pull on the parking lot, they feel it. Not only feel it, they see it. They see it. Transformation. This place will eventually look so incredibly different than it looks right now. But we got to believe for it. And we got to step into it. We got to believe that we serve a God not only of provision, but abundance. Yes. Not only of provision, but abundance. Yes. Do people see the provision of his kingdom, the provision of God in your life? One of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. There you go. Yeah, y'all know that one. If you don't know any other one, you know Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha. And maybe Jehovah Shalom. I don't know. I know some of you know the names. I'm just enjoying the moment. Jehovah Jireh. It's in Genesis 22 and 14 where Abraham's saying, God will provide. God has provided. He's talking to his son that he's about to kill. Dad, where? I see the wood. I know we got the fire. But where's the sacrifice? God will provide for himself a sacrifice. We see in the Old Testament, just real quick, we see the faithfulness of God. He brings the people of God out of Egypt. Their clothes did not wear out. How many of you want to be wearing the same clothes 40 years later? I knew I wouldn't get any amens on that. But I'm talking about the miraculous power of God. Their clothes, their shoes did not. They're like, no. Did not wear out. God gave them water through a rock. Manna from the sky. Quail was sent for food. He fed a prophet by ravens coming, flying in every day, delivering like an Uber, like a, what's some other services? A DoorDash. Yeah. Listen, God was doing that kind of stuff before there ever was a pandemic. You just be there at that brook. That's your address. The brook chairs, that's your address. If you at that address, the ravens know to drop off your meal. They know where they need to come to feed you. This is how God was providing. Then we see the miracles that took place. The miracle of the oil that increased so that the widow could pay the tax, pay off the debt that she owed, and her family live off the rest of it. The prophet showed up, said, What do you have? She said, I don't have anything except a small cruiser oil. And I want to share something with you. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself with this, but you got to quit thinking of I only have. You got to get out of the I only have kind of mentality, because sometimes out of the I only have mentality, you'll live in a small place. You'll live in a small space. When the prophet came to Zarephath, to the widow, and he says, can you give me something to drink? And she says, okay, I'll be right back. And then he says, I'm on your way. Can you make a small cake for me? She says, I can't do that. I only have. And we can't live out of an only have place and expect for the provision of his kingdom to be demonstrated, displayed in our lives. Now, I'm going to clap right there again for myself. Hallelujah. Because you got to break through that mindset. You got to break through that mindset. You got to break through that mindset that causes you to think all you have is what's in your bank account. All you have is what your employer pays you. You got to think beyond that. You got to think beyond that, and you need to think in the realm of God has more for you than you could ever imagine. And if you can believe for it, he will get it to you. Yeah. I believe for it. I believe for it. I believe to be able to make this kind of acquisition, this property that we're in right now. I believe for it. No way in the realm of the natural did it look possible. No way in the realm of the natural. But I wasn't trying to walk this out in the realm of the natural. I didn't say, well, I only have. Because in God, we have everything. In God, we have a promise of provision. So I want to talk to you about the promise of provision. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Most of us know this passage of scripture. It says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be wearied about your life, so that as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, to what you will put on, because your clothes are going to last 40 years. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Yes. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add one single hour to your life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. It says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, Will he not much more clothe you? Then he says this, you of little faith. That's a pause moment, because what he's saying there is, if you're thinking along these lines, you're operating out of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you, that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I believe that one of the challenges that we have in being able to live in the promise of provision is that we try to live so far out in a space we're not even in yet. When God is saying, no, I need you to focus right here. I need you to focus right here on what I'm doing right now. I've got tomorrow. I'm in your tomorrow. I'm in your next week. I'm in your next year. As a matter of fact, I'm in all the days of your life. I've already planned it. I've already scripted. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. You and I just simply need to continue to walk with him. That's the promise of provision. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything you and I need, he's already supplied it. Say amen.
Amen.
Everything you and I need, he has already supplied it. He wants you and I to get past faith for the little stuff.
Yes.
We're talking about, does anybody see the provision of the kingdom displayed in your life? In order for that to happen, you've got to get past faith with the little stuff. Faith for the little stuff. You've got to get past faith for your utilities to be paid. You got to, I know this may be a little challenging for some, but hear me. I'm not saying something to you that I haven't had to get past myself. The months and the years of struggle and just exercising my faith as best I could just to make ends meet, to get to the end of the month. But when God has blessed you and he's prospered you and you've gotten past that place of little faith for needs being met, now he wants you to exercise your faith for the more that's beyond provision, to the place of abundance, because now it's not about you. Can you get to the place where you say, it's not about me any longer? It's not about me any longer. As a matter of fact, he wants to move you and I into a place where we are ready, willing, and eager to share what he's given us as we display the provision of his kingdom. Because the provision is not just about enough to get by. It really is about abundance. The provision of the kingdom is an abundance that's available to you and I. There's the promise of provision. Now I want to talk for a moment about the practice of sharing provision. The practice of sharing provision. Because it's not just about you and your stuff. As a matter of fact, when we read in the scriptures going back to Acts, the 4th chapter, you'll remember that I shared about how they got together and they prayed for boldness and the Holy Spirit came upon them again, and then they begin to go out. It goes on and says, though, this. And the congregation of those who believed, there it is, believe for it, of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. Now, I recognize that we live in a different time, and that's okay. But there still should be something in your DNA that gives itself to the care and concern of others.
Right.
that causes you to be sensitive to Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, bless this person, help this person. I'm talking about the practice of sharing provision, because God will bring resources to you to get them through you into the hands of the hands of someone else. And when you and I have learned to steward it well, and we've proven to him that we're not hoarding it to ourselves because we live out of a small place in our faith, then he will bring resources to you that will blow your mind, because now he knows he can trust you to give the $20. Now he can trust you to give the $100. Now he can trust you to give the $1,000. Now he can trust you to give the $10, the $20, the $30, the $40, the $50, the $100,000. Yeah. 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 It goes on and says, and with great power, the apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon all of them. For there was not a needy person among them. Wow. See, that's community. That's covenant community. That's covenant community. And I know here at Ayers, we have benevolence and people give into benevolence and we help people as they can. But the body works together, building up itself, meaning that you don't have to go through benevolence. God can speak to someone, put somebody's face in your mind and say, I need you to do this for them. Or put your face in somebody's mind and tell them, I need you to do this for them. He knows what's needed in the body, but I'm talking to us about the practice of sharing provision. Do people see the provision of the kingdom on display in your life? So there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land and houses would sell them and bring all the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Times have shifted. The culture has changed. Many ways, capitalism has crept into the church. Get mine, you get yours. And we're losing the sense of community. We're losing the sense of community to be able to help one another, sow into one another's lives, so that collectively we are displaying the provision of his kingdom. I mean, is this Bible or not? That we can live and there not be one need? My God, how does that work? Well, it works with a mind shift. It works with the transformation of the way that we think about things. It works with us recognizing often that God will work through us for the sake of others, for the health of the body of Christ. For the health of the body of Christ. And we need to steward it, and we need to do it in the proper way and the right way. When we have, over the years, have helped families, we've tried to help them not only by just giving to them, but saying, do you have a budget? How are you handling what you're handling? And I'm going to talk a little bit about a stewardship aspect in just a moment. And we had some people that got offended because we said, yes, we want to help you, but we want to understand how you got here. Because see, if you don't know how you got there, you can end up there again. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of hard lessons that I had to do it over again, Pastor Nina, until I got the revelation of, you don't do that again. That's not the way to do that. And so often people come and they want help, but they don't really want to change. But if we're really going to help one another, we've got to be able to speak to all of the situation, and we've got to be able to speak the truth in love. So yes, we can help you, but we need to know that you're going to steward well what we're about to do this time. So that should you come back, it won't be about this. Now, it may be about something else, but it won't be about this. And I remember we had one family that left the church because we sat down and had that conversation with them. And it was almost like, how dare you? Now, well, you came asking for help. And what we need to recognize is oftentimes the help we think we need is not the help we really need. It's a much deeper place. And God will put people in your life to speak to the deeper need. Now, this is not the message, but it is the message. So you don't want to run from the people God puts in your life who will speak to the deeper need just because you don't like what they're saying. I'm talking about the practice of sharing provision. Because you see, if we're going to display the provision of the kingdom, it's a concerted effort. It's a concerted effort. It's also the sensitivity, even as a body, to know that we should be sowing and we should be giving. It's in Philippians 4, 10 through 19. This is Paul writing. Listen to this. It says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me." What Paul is saying is, I'm out here doing ministry and it's like everybody has forgotten about me. It says, "You were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." Not that I speak from want, listen to this, "for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I underline that in my version of the PowerPoint simply because a lot of times we pull a scripture just out of context. We just pull it out. So we say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And we're thinking about the big stuff, the large stuff. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And Paul's saying, talking about, I can do with it. I can do without it. It really doesn't matter. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What he's talking about here is living in a place of being constant and consistent. When it's up, when it's down, when it's crazy, when it's leveled, he's saying, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share in my affliction." I believe what he's saying there is, you've done well to share in my challenges. He goes on and says this, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." He says, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And then he says this, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's another passage of scripture that we often put out there. "But my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And there's nothing wrong with saying that, except that you keep it in the context of what he's saying to the Philippians. "As you have given to me, God is going to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, for the sake of time, because I want to end this out and we're going to pick it back up next week, I don't want to rush it. I want to move to the principle of sowing and receiving increase. We're going to spend time next week on the principle of stewardship. So if you would just drop down in those slides there for me, the principle of sowing and receiving increase. When we talk about, do people see the provision of the kingdom on display in your life, I want you to recognize that this dynamic, if you will, this principle is key to that being in our lives consistently. Say consistently. The principle of sowing and receiving increase. It says this in 2 Corinthians 9, we're reading 6 through 15. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now, let's just take that word sows and just says he who gives. He who gives sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who gives bountifully will reap bountifully. It's much like the farmer who goes out and he's sowing seed in the field, and he's looking at the seed that he has, saying, "You know, man, I ain't got a whole lot here, so I'm just going to sow a little bit. I'm just going to plant a little bit." So, what's his harvest going to be? His harvest is going to be a little bit. I believe that often we give out of a scarcity mentality and not a mentality of abundance, not out of the revelation and the acknowledgement that everything I have comes from God. And God's not counting coins. He doesn't have a bank account that's dwindling down. And if we can see it the way that he intends, that he is our source, then we will be more generous in our giving, our sowing, because we will reap more. It will come back to us. Yes. Yeah. It goes on and says, each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He must do what's purpose in his heart. Purpose in his heart. Everything you and I give is connected to heart, which is connected to relationship with God. Everything you and I give is connected to heart, that's connected to the relationship with God. So as we give as it's purposed in our heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that's why here at Ayers, yeah, we will pray about tithes and offering, but we don't overemphasize that, because we live in the space of not the law of giving, but the grace of giving. Amen. It is a privilege to give. I get excited about giving, and not just giving here in this place, but giving everywhere I go. So I go to a particular First Watch. Everybody in that First Watch knows my name because of the way that I sow when I pay for my food. Every server knows my name. They're looking to see which table I'm going to. And no matter where I sit, every one of those servers will come by and say, "Hi, John. Good morning, John. You're looking sharp, John." I'm talking about provision of the kingdom on display. They know what I do. Many of them know, because when we were negotiating to purchase this building, we were sitting in First Watch. So Pastor Josh and I, we'd fight over who's going to sow the seed. So I'd always say, "Check, give me the check, give me the check, give me the check." Now, it's because I really do believe in this principle. He who gives sparingly, sows sparingly, tips sparingly, will reap sparingly. How many of you, you ever ask a server, "So how did you come to do this kind of work?" "Well, I always wanted to do this." No, you don't ever really hear that. It's some other extenuating circumstances that's moved them into that place. While some of them have been there for years, though, and they're wonderful, wonderful people. And when you're modeling and you're demonstrating the kingdom on display, when you walk in and they see you, they're just, when I walk in, I don't even have to say, they just look at me. They look at me and do like this. Now, there could be five people waiting to get seated. Now, you may say, "Well, that ain't right. That ain't fair." Well, favor ain't fair. Okay, I'm just going to say, favor ain't fair, and I ain't trying to lose mine. Okay? So if they tell me, "Go ahead and get a seat," I'm going and get a seat. I'm going to tip right on over there. I ain't hiring nobody, because there ain't nobody. I ain't going to draw attention to myself. But you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about the kingdom on display. That's the way it should be with you and I. So I want to move this out of just the giving of tithes and offerings. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And then it goes on and says this, and God is able. He's able. God is able to make all grace abound to you, all favor abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything. That means it never runs dry. That means you don't have to figure out how we're going to do this, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do this. As a matter of fact, let me just insert this right now. I was talking to Apostle Marcia, and I said, okay, you said we're going to give some turkeys. Marcia, don't be looking at me like, do you always look like, you know, well, what's he going to say now? Okay, we good. She always like, you know, I'm like, so we said we're going to give some, you know, we want to give some turkeys, box dinners for Thanksgiving. And so we said 75. Now, it's just a conversation we had just, you know, during the offering time. I said, okay, so how much are we looking at per box? She said, probably 25 per box. Want to do 75, give 50. And then other, you know, is there a school that's asking for 50? And five schools that are asking for 50 each? Oh, five schools, 50 boxes. She said, but maybe we'll do 75 boxes so we can give some other out, maybe in the community like we did last year. I said, how much? She said, okay, 25. It's going to be $25, $25 per box. Okay, somebody do the math real quick. So $25 each, we're doing 75. What's that total? Y'all got phones? I mean, calculators? 1875. Okay. Thank you, Jew. She let Annie Arnaz know I can count. 1875. Okay. So we got 1875 going once. 1870. No, just. Hey. Somebody got it. That's the opportunity. But here's how we get it done. So I said, okay, $18.75, $25 a box. I said, okay, I got 10 of those. I got 10 of the boxes. Okay? So I got 10 of the boxes. That's $2.50, right? Yeah, I got 10 of the boxes. Okay? Anybody else want to get in on this right now? You got four. Wait a minute. Hold up now. Okay, hold up now. This is going live. We're going to show people how this gets done in the kingdom. Okay, so I got, what did I say? I got 10. Okay, somebody write this down. Yvonne got four. Wait, y'all. We got how? What'd you say? Tell me your name again. Sandra. Okay, Sandra has four. Okay, Edgar. Edgar has two. Okay, that's Edgar, two.
Yvonne, four, eight.
Oh, Donna says she'll do eight. Hold on, Sterling? Sterling, 10. Man, they just got back in town. All right, man. Sterling, 10. Four, tell me your name.
Immaculate.
All right, so you getting this? Okay. Okay, yeah, you got Yvonne. Pastor Deborah?
Four.
Pastor Deborah, five. Jewel, one.
All right, Jewel.
Jewel, I think you could do two if you really wanted to. Jewel, got two. Jewel, okay. Denise, four. Denise, four. Debbie?
Take 10.
Debbie said 10. How many is that?
67.
That's 67. Okay, we have 67. So that's only, you only need eight more. Did you say you'd do four? James and Annette said they'll do four, and you do two. Tell me your name.
Valencia.
Okay. David? David said two. Sandra? Five? All right. Rondessa? Four? All right. Lisa? Four? All right. Gladys? Coco? Two. Where we at? Give me the number. 88, that's not okay. We'll just go. Well, we ain't got to stop, though. I mean, we're talking about abundance here. Was anybody else? Did anybody on the worship team get in on this?
Oh, did you say we were waiting on Garrett?
I got one.
Oh, Garrett, Pastor Garrett, five? Okay, Pastor Gary, five?
I got four.
Okay, Janice got four. Joy got four.
Jeremiah,
did you say something?
Yeah, I said one.
Jeremiah said one.
Yeah,
Eric said four. Rhonda, two.
That's a
huh? That's 114 boxes. Come on, bless God. Now, we do not have a collection agency. This is what the scripture says, as you purpose in your heart. Now, between next Sunday, the following Sunday, okay, because we need to get it in time, so we're going to take the next two Sundays, all right? Next two Sundays to sow that and give that so we can be ready and get those prepared. Is that good?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, it's 162 boxes. All right, Jesus. So I'm going to talk to y'all after we get done with this. I'm going to talk to y'all about some air conditioners, okay? Oh, y'all messed up now. I see how this goes. I just set the stage. I set the bar and go from there. Now I'm laughing, but listen to me. See, what many of you are not aware of is that early in AIRS, this is exactly how we did things. When projects came up, we would say, this is what we need. I would say, I'm giving this. How many want to get in on it? And before we knew it, we had what we need. So this is between you and God, okay? Between you and God. I'm not going to be checking to say, hey, did so-and-so give their money? I need to make sure I give my money, okay? And I want you to do the same, but we will report back that we got all of it, all right? OJ, did you raise your hand? I just didn't see it. That's my dear friend, OJ. He. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, your colors are kind of blending over there. So, okay, tell me your name again. Madeline. Madeline. There's two more. Hey, so that's 170. All right, come on and thank God. All right, that brings this passage to life as we end out. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything. Man, that's how you get it done. You just insert it right into the message. Hallelujah. Just right in the middle of the message. that's when the anointing is the highest, you know, the scriptures. You may have an abundance for every good deed. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know what every individual has pledged to give. And Father, I pray right now that not one thing will stand in the way. There will not be car trouble. There will not be appliances that break down. There will not be physical challenges that happen. There will not be emergencies that would cause them to not to be able to participate and sow in this manner. And so we thank you right now for removing every obstacle out of the way. And I pray for those that are believing even for the resources that you're bringing it to them right now in Jesus' name. Would you shout amen? Now, let me say this, for those who happen to be watching, you can sow as well. And so I want to encourage you, you can sow, let us know the amount that you're sowing, and you can cash app that. And when you cash app, just say turkey, okay? And we'll know where that needs to go. Just say turkey, and those funds will go there. Amen. All right. What'd you say, Jamal? All right. One person. Thank you so much. One person said four and another said two. Come on. Bless God. All right. We're almost done here. And God, is Eric still here? Come on, Eric, join me. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. So always having all sufficiency. Eric, joyful expectation.
Yeah.
in everything. You may have an abundance for every good deed. Now listen to me. See, this is the place of faith that allows you and I to live in the space of his provision, the provision of the kingdom being displayed in our lives. So you no longer exercise your faith for your stuff to get paid. That's done. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Just right living, aligned with God, his plans, his purposes, all those things are there. So I exercise my faith for something larger. I exercise my faith for something bigger. I exercise my faith for 621 South Erie Boulevard, a building called the Embassy, 140,000 square foot facility. I exercise my faith so that we have a place to worship. We have a place to minister to others as well. I exercise my faith so that we can steward a building that houses men getting their lives together. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I exercise my faith to transform this community. They will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And when they come, they will experience the presence of our King and the power of his kingdom. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, last scripture here, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 15. Team, would you join me? Now, he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He's the one that gives the seed to sow. That's why you can raise your hand in faith, say, God, I really want to be a part of this. God, I want to get in on this. I want to be a part of it. He says, okay, in faith, just say what you want to do. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through you, through many thanksgivings to God. See, what we did right now isn't about the house. It's about the community. That's the overflowing. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.